Tune into All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlow Dermagradichian of the Armenian Studies Program at Fresno State. Thank you for joining us today. Our topic today is going to be about the House resolution, which just passed on Monday, October the 29th, concerning the affirmation of the Armenian genocide. And that that resolution passed overwhelmingly by a vote of 405 in favor to only 11 against. And it passed on Monday, October the 29th. And once again, it affirms the United States record on the Armenian genocide. So today I'd like to talk about the resolution, what it implies, the implications for it. And we'll be having a couple of guests to discuss this with in just a few minutes. And I want to encourage our listeners to call in today if they have comments or ideas about the passage of the Armenian Genocide Resolution. And the number to call in live is 559-499-1600. Once again, that's 559-499-1600. And the House resolution, which was numbered House Resolution 296, had the following statement where it affirmed the Armenian genocide, and it had a lot of very interesting historical facts, really outlining the long history of the actual United States affirmation of the Armenian genocide. So it's really interesting today to see what's happening with it. Today we're going to have, U.S. Congressman Jim Costa is going to be our guest today. Representative Costa is going to join us, and he's going to answer some of questions because he's been involved with it. Welcome to our show, Congressman Costa.
Well, it's my honor and privilege to be on the Armenian radio hour this afternoon to have a chance to have a conversation about the success after a long wait, long overdue, as I said, on the House floor last week, that we finally had the opportunity to vote on House Resolution 296 affirming the United States record on the Armenian genocide. So I'm happy, Barlow, to be with you on the show this afternoon.
Thank you. And Congressman Costa represents California's 16th Congressional District, and he's been serving since January of 2005, and he has always been a very strong advocate for Armenian issues. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit of the background about the timing of this resolution, and then tell us a little bit about the resolution itself.
Well, in politics, timing's everything. Clearly, this is a result of a combination of efforts, as any successful legislation ever is. The Armenian National Committee and supporters from throughout the country have tried for years. I've been in Congress 15 years, and certainly during all of that time and before, there's been an effort to bring this up. I was talking with my friend, Congressman Tony Quillo, who's been retired for over 30 years, and he was telling me when he first brought this up in 1981. And so it's been a long journey. I think it's a reflection of the hard work that supporters of the Armenian community have made. I think it's a result of the fact that repeated genocides have taken place since the Armenian genocide in the 20th century and now the 21st century. I think it's a combination of the fact that, Turkey, that is supposedly our NATO ally, has proven time and time again that they're a fair-weather friend, most recently by their attack on the Kurds here in the last 2 weeks when the president had his conversation with President Erdogan. But that's not the first time that they've acted in this fashion. They've acted this way when President Bush sought support to use our facilities in Turkey during the Gulf War, and Turkey put stringent limitations on our use at that time. Most recently, Turkey decided to split with its NATO allies and buy arms from Russia. And so I think there's come a realization by members, both Republicans and Democrats alike, that Turkey has not been a very reliable friend. So all of these things have come together, and it was a resounding vote. The resolution passed by 405 ayes and 11 noes, with three members voting present. That's just a very strong, resounding vote in support. And now we need to move on to the Senate and try to put together a bipartisan coalition of senators as well.
Could you tell us a little bit about that? So the process is that the same resolution will be passed by the Senate, and then is that something that would ultimately go to the president also?
Well, it doesn't need to go to the president.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a sense of the House. While the Senate could make modifications in the resolution, and sometimes they do that, it's not clear in this case whether they will. More importantly, given everything that's taken place, it's my hope that we can put the same amount of support together and urge the Senate to do the right thing.
Yeah, it's just amazing that the bipartisanship and the overwhelming vote really, to me, says that now, once and for all, the American government, the House has affirmed the Armenian genocide. And I think that was cause for a lot of joy among Armenians facing all of these years of denial by the Turkish government.
Well, I think so. And, my friends like Paul Shamuzin and so many others that I've worked with over the years, Bears, and with the other folks here with the Armenian National Committee, both in our valley and in Washington, have been such strong advocates. As I tell my friends in Washington every time we meet, which is at least once or twice a year, and many of the Armenians, of course, are from the East Coast, I say that I'm from the land of William Saroyan, and my name is Aram. Mm-hmm. And everyone smiles, and they know that I'm from Fresno, California.
That's
having
right.
grown up here in Kearney Park with the Khazarians and the Abrahamians and the Collegians and so many other families that, taught me as a young man the atrocities of the genocide. I can remember Kearney Park, Cotton Gin, Duran Collegian. Amos, as we referred to him, was a dear friend of my father's, and we were neighbors, and telling me as a young man what happened. I couldn't believe it as a 7-8-year-old to hear this story of man's inhumanity to mankind. As I grew up, I never ever forgot. And in Sacramento, folks like Wally Carabian and others, who's originally from Fresno, we would take up the banner, and many states have gone on record, but it's been a source of frustration that we administrations, Democratic and Republican administrations alike, have tried to suggest to the Congress that they not vote on this because of our alliance with Turkey. And clearly, that's war thin. It's just, I think, very important, as I told people. I chair the Transatlantic Legislators Dialogue with members of the European Parliament and the European Commission. The European Parliament went on record on recognizing the genocide years ago. And, of course, Turkey threatened them when they did so. And, of course, that threat ended up being hollow, and they did the same with France. And, you know, France went on record in their National Assembly of recognizing the Armenian genocide, the large Armenian communities in France. And France's trade with Turkey has, I've been told, doubled or tripled in the last 10 years. So obviously that had no impact as well. And, of course, we've seen when Erdogan has come to Washington and his security guards, took after peaceful Armenian demonstrators across the park. And I went there, and then for those security officials to be taken out of the country quickly so that they couldn't be, cited for their attack. It's just outrageous. But anyway, the other thing, Barlow, that I would like to add is that we also passed the same day Protect Against Conflict by Turkey PAC. It's a bipartisan bill that would impose additional sanctions on Turkey for its invasion of northern Syria and the displacement of our Kurdish allies. So there were two pieces of important legislation we passed. One was the recognition of affirming that the United States recognized the Armenian genocide that passed by 405-11. And then the second act that passed overwhelmingly as well was sanctions, to impose additional sanctions on Turkey for its invasion of northern Syria and displacement of our Kurdish allies. And, of course, we're trying to get Senate support on that as well. Now, in this bill on sanctions, if we can get it through the Senate, will require a presidential signature, and that will be more difficult, I believe.
Yes, it certainly is. I'm very surprised and happy to hear that that second part also passed the House. And so together, this is a very powerful message to Turkey. Have you heard back from any Turkish legislators or government officials? Have they contacted you regarding this resolution?
Well, this all happened last week. And so usually they go through two processes. One, they send a letter. I haven't seen a letter from the Turkish ambassador, and then two, they attempt to, through the embassy, ask for meetings go over the legislation. Although in this case, both pieces of legislation are passed and over on the Senate, so I suspect the Turkish lobby will attempt to do most of their efforts over in the United States Senate to try to hold up one legislation. So I think they must feel that there's no sense in spending much time with the House at this point, given the overwhelming vote for the recognition of the Armenian genocide and by the strong bipartisan support on the sanctions bill. And so I think most, if not all, of the Turkish effort will be in the United States Senate at this time.
What are your thoughts about having the President of the United States annually, all presidents in the past few administrations have made statements on April 24th, but have not used the word genocide? They've used various euphemisms for that. What are your thoughts about the possibility or the likelihood of President Trump, for instance, now coming up in April next year, to make a statement using the word genocide?
I have no idea. Republican and Democratic presidents in the past, or those wanting to running for president, have talked about their strong view on the fact that the genocide occurred, and if they were elected president, they would say the words genocide. And of course, those Democratic and Republican presidents chose not to. Our president this time is still not use those words. And, you know, given his relationship with Erdogan and given the nature of these resolutions, I would be somewhat surprised next April 24th if he were to do so. But, you know, this president does things every day that surprise me. So we'll see.
This is All Things Armenian. Listeners can call in live. We are live with Congressman Jim Costa. The number here is 559-499-1600. Congressman, the resolution has three resolved, and the third one is, it says, about encouraging education and public understanding of the facts of the Armenian genocide. Do you see this as that somehow Congress will give financial support to that, or how do you see that third part of the resolution?
Well, the third part of the resolution is very important, and as a original co-sponsor of this resolution, and of course I supported previous resolutions since I first came to Congress 15 years ago, as Congresswoman Jackie Speier, who's Armenian, and Anna Eshoo, both pointed out from their own family stories that we must teach the history. I'm fond of using the historian, philosopher Santoyo, who once said, for those whom forget history, they're doomed to repeat it. And of course, we know that Hitler, when he began his planning for the Holocaust of the Jews, was asked about whether or not what the world might, how they might react. And he said, well, the world really didn't react between 1915 and 1923 to the genocide of Armenia, so why should we worry about the Jews? And of course, sadly, in the 20th century and in the 21st century, we've seen genocidal actions taking place, even most recently in Syria with Assad. And of course, we see President Erdogan attacking the Christians in northern Syria and our Kurdish allies. So I think that the education, whether we can provide funding in an appropriations bill to have schools throughout America teach the issue of the Armenian genocide and other similar genocides that have taken place during the recent history, i.e. the 21st and 20th century, but even the history of mankind, I think is important. With authoritarian and dictatorial governments around the world seemingly thinking that they can take unilateral actions and there's no repercussions, I think it's more important than ever before for Western civilization and democratic nations to stand in solidarity. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to provide funding. You know, in Fresno State, which is the only university in the nation that has a memorial to the genocide, and give a shout out to the Armenian communities throughout our valley that raised the money to make such a strong statement. That memorial at the university campus that we've all visited and it's been used for ceremonial occasions, as when I went to Yerevan and saw the site in Armenia, recognizing the Armenian genocide. These symbols are all important so that people understand their history and that this is our collective history. So it's my hope that in the resolution we'll be able to try to find means to provide that level of knowledge to young people. And certainly I think there's strong support for that effort.
For sure. And I think over the whole world has looked historically to the United States for leadership in human rights issues. And as you well said, I think this is not just the Armenian genocide, which is important, obviously, but it's something which resonates throughout the world that governments that abuse their own citizens should be on watch, that they cannot do that with impunity.
President Assad in Syria during the civil war is reportedly responsible for over 250,000 plus of his own citizens that have been killed as a result of the civil war in Syria. And you look at the dictator of North Korea, who is considered one of the worst of human rights violations in his own country. So this is something that I think, we have a very strong Armenian studies at Fresno State University. I think it's one of the oldest Armenian studies departments in any university in the country. And we have a sister university relationship between Fresno State and American University in Armenia. All of these things are important as we continue to try to make sure that people remember that even in the 21st century, man's inhumanity to mankind continues, and therefore we must do everything we can together for those of us who believe in human rights, who believe in the rule of law, who believe in the freedoms that were enshrined in our Constitution, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, that we, as our European allies have done, stay together in solidarity.
Oh, this is wonderful. My guest has been Congressman Jim Costa, who represents the 16th Congressional District and was one of the congressmen who were instrumental in the passage of House Resolution 296, which affirmed the Armenian genocide overwhelmingly, 405 votes in favor and 11 against. Thank you very much for joining me, Congressman Costa, and we wish you continued good luck in all of your work.
Well, I appreciate that, and I thank you for your efforts at Fresno State and your efforts within the Armenian community. And I want to thank all my friends in the, I've got three staff members of Armenian descent, or as they like to say, Hais. And while I may be an Odar, I have been accepted a long time ago, I believe, in the Armenian community, and it's what makes this incredible valley so rich and unique and an honor to serve because of the incredible diversity that is reflected in the Armenian community is such a strong, vital part of our valley.
Thank you very much. We'll take a pause in our programming and be back in the program in just a few minutes.
Tune in the show, All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program from Fresno State University. Find out everything that happens with the Armenian community in the Central Valley. Sunday at 2 p.m. here at Multicultural Radio, 1600 a.m.
En tu radio, 1600 a.m.
This is All Things Armenian on Multicultural 1600. I'm Professor Barlow Dermagerdic, and I'm your host today. We're discussing the passage of the House resolution, which took place on Monday, last Monday, which affirmed the Armenian genocide. And we had as our guest Congressman Jim Costa. The resolution is really pretty interesting because it includes a lot of clauses, a lot of whereases, which really establish the history of the idea that the United States government has affirmed in the past and still does affirm the Armenian genocide. For instance, one clause says, whereas the United States has officially recognized the Armenian genocide through the United States government's May 28, 1951 written statement to the International Court of Justice regarding the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. And then it mentions President Ronald Reagan's proclamation, which took place on April 22, 1981, which also affirmed the Armenian genocide. And then also a resolution passed by the House, a joint resolution adopted on 1975, also affirming the genocide. And finally, again, on September the 10th, 1984, when another resolution passed the House. So this is really encouraging. We want to really support getting the Senate to also pass its resolution, which would be a similar resolution. That's going to be Senate Resolution 150, which is similarly worded, and it's being headed by Menendez and by Congressman Menendez, and also by, excuse me, Senator Menendez and by Senator Cruz of Texas. Today, we also have another guest with us. He is the Western Regional Director of the Armenian Assembly of America, Miran Tumajan. Miran has been very active in advocating in Washington, D.C., along with the Armenian Assembly and the Armenian National Committee, passage of the resolution. So I'd like to welcome him to the show today. Welcome, Miran.
Thank you, Barlow.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Our topic is the House Joint Resolution 296, which I'm sure you were very much involved with. Can you tell us a little bit from your perspective as one of the groups lobbying for the passage of this resolution, a little of the background in terms of the timing of the resolution?
Sure. So Armenian Americans, of course, across the country, were in a euphoric state this week in light of what happened with the overwhelming support by members of Congress, to whom we are all grateful. This resolution, it was in the works as early as January of this year, when the Democrats took over the House of Representatives. It was decided back in January that Congressman Adam Schiff come to an agreement with the with fellow leaders of the Congressional Caucus on Armenian Issues, which is a bipartisan caucus in the House of Representatives. It has roughly 122 members. Both parties are well represented on the caucus. Congressman Schiff is one of the vice chairs of that caucus, and so the leadership of the caucus decided that it would be Congressman Schiff's turn to introduce the resolution. So Congressman Schiff and the leadership of the caucus worked with both advocacy organizations to craft the language. And if anyone's read the language, if your listeners have read the language, it is quite comprehensive. It refers to Raphael Lemkin, for example, who coined the term genocide and certainly remembered the Armenian genocide as the first genocide of the 20th century, and a blueprint for genocide. It remembered Henry Morgenthau and his efforts to drum up support among Americans in the Near East relief effort, and it harkened back to previous resolutions as well. Remembered previous resolutions back in 75 and 84, which were more commemorations of the genocide that the House of Representatives recognized at the time. So it had a lot of strong language in the text. And so on April 8th, Congressman Schiff formally introduced the resolution. And on that day, the resolution generated over 70 original co-sponsors, members of the House from both parties. And over time, since April, our organization, the Armenian Assembly of America, ANC, we've all worked with the goal of increasing the number of co-sponsors. When we received word earlier this month that certainly following developments in the greater Middle East with Turkey's invasion of northern Syria, we felt, and our the leadership of the Congressional Caucus felt, that it was the right time to pursue a floor vote, circumvent the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and bring the resolution via the House Rules Committee directly to a floor vote. And I think certainly now, after the vote, it certainly was the right move on the part of the caucus leadership, with the advice and counsel of the two main advocacy organizations.
How closely do you work with Congressman on actual crafting of the wording of the resolution? Do you sit down with, let's say, an Adam Schiff or any of the other congressmen involved and just kind of sit down and discuss what might be the best to include in that resolution?
Yeah, absolutely. Our Washington, D.C. Leadership, Executive Director Brian Arduini, had a direct hand in the crafting of that language, and working with Congressman Schiff, with Congressman Bilirakis, of course, who was the lead co-sponsor on the Republican side. Congressman Bilirakis' office had a lot to do with the language as well, and we're grateful to him, to Congressman Bilirakis, for moving the resolution forward in the early days when it was just introduced among members of his party, of the Republican Party. We had a direct voice in the actual text that was ultimately agreed upon before it was introduced by Congressman Schiff, and so did the other leaders of the caucus, Congressman Pallone, certainly Congresswoman Jackie Speier, and others.
Do you see this whole process as culminating it just at this right timing, because you said the election of a Democratic Congress, but then also probably what was happening in the world, right? So how do you tie the two together in terms of the timing of it?
Well, the timing of it certainly was important, because practically the entire world is upset at Ankara for its, its support of some of these extreme terror groups in northern Syria, and they're unleashing terror upon the civilians and civilian population in northern Syria, be they Arab, Kurd, Turkoman even, and certainly Assyrians and Armenians, Christian minorities in northern Syria. So there's Europe is very much upset. There's deep-seated anger at Erdogan for many countries around the world. And so the timing of it certainly played a huge role. But I would like to stress one thing, Barlow. When this became a go and the advocacy organization started to mobilize the grassroots effort, at the same time, it's important for your listeners to know that, We work with both sides of the aisle and leadership on both sides of the aisle, and Kevin McCarthy. It's important for people to know Minority Leader McCarthy came through huge this time around, especially his support of the resolution was tremendous, and he ended up bringing 177 fellow Republicans on board with him. Certainly, Congressman Bilirakis had. Tremendous influence early on when the resolution was introduced, but Minority Leader McCarthy coming on board, seeing the value of this resolution, that actually ended up bringing about the realization of a broad bipartisan support for this bill, as you could see with 405 members voting in favor. So I can't stress enough how critical Congressman Minority Leader McCarthy's support of this was. And of course, he's from Bakersfield, Kern County, not far from the Central Valley, not far from many of your listeners in the Central Valley. I bring this up because it's important for people to know that Minority Leader McCarthy came through huge for us.
Well, that kind of leads into my question. You mentioned Congressman McCarthy, who lives in the Valley. There's a substantial Armenian population here. So what is the role of individual Armenians or those who would like to see such resolutions passed? How do you see them getting involved in the process?
The role of individual Armenians, be they in the Central Valley, be they in the San Francisco Bay Area, in greater Los Angeles, and across the country, is immensely important, Barlow. So when it came time to reaching out to members of Congress in their Washington, D.C. offices, the way it works is every call that went to the office, every email that was sent to a member's office is tallied. They count. They literally count. And so the grassroots effort was tremendous, and everyone's voice counts. Everyone's voice matters. And this, you know, this process, we're going to go through it a second time now that it's very clear that we're trying to get senators to co-sponsor the Senate version, Senate Resolution 150, in the near future. There is no timetable for a vote at this juncture. We're trying to get as many senators to co-sponsor as possible. But here's another opportunity for Armenians in the Central Valley to say thank you to Senators Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris, because they have co-sponsored. They were both original co-sponsors. At the same time, if Armenians in the Central Valley and whoever's listening to this program, if they have friends, family in Nevada, in Arizona, in other Western states, or anywhere across the U.S., it's important to reach out to your friends and family and encourage them to contact their senators and Senate offices in D.C. and very simply state, you know, their name, where they're calling from, and a brief message. I'm calling asking for the senator to support Senate Resolution 150. I'm an Armenian American, and it means a lot to me and my family and my people. So that's what we need people to do right now. For those who have co-sponsored, like Senator Harris and Senator Feinstein, thank yous are in order. For others, again, if you've got family in Nevada, Arizona, reach out. Have them call the senators in those states. None of those senators are on board just yet.
This is All Things Armenian. Our call-in number live is 559-499-1600. My guest is the Western Region Director of the Armenian Assembly of America, Miran Tumajan. Miran, what do you think about the connections to the aid to Armenia? Just briefly tell us where we stand as far as congressional assistance to Armenia and how maybe this passage of the resolution could also help in that effort.
Excellent question. So earlier this year, for the fiscal year 2020 House and Senate appropriations bills, and initially on the House side, it was Congresswoman Jackie Speier, who's of course part Armenian. She's a senior member of the House of Representatives, a Democrat. She led the effort to ensure that an additional $40 million in U.S. Assistance to Armenia for the strengthening of democratic institutions, for the strengthening of the rule of law, judicial reform, and other types of reform, that $40 million additional was earmarked for Armenia. Fortunately, when that amendment came up for a vote, she was passionate about this. And a lot of folks in her party certainly respected her for that. The final tally had virtually the entire Democratic Party supporting Jackie Speier on this measure, on her amendment. It also generated 42 Republicans to support it, which in hyper-partisan Washington nowadays, Barlow, is truly amazing. So between Jackie Speier garnering those 42 Republican members of Congress to support her amendment, and the genocide resolution, House Resolution 296, having 405 members supported. It's truly amazing that both sides of the aisle have come together on both of those measures in respectable numbers, despite the hyperpartisan atmosphere in Washington. It's truly commendable, and I think it has to do, in Jackie Spear's case certainly, with her stature. She's highly respected, having survived the massacre at Jonestown, and recently published a book about her career and the Jonestown incident. She's highly respected from both sides of the aisle, and it's to our credit that we have such a champion in Congress these days. So with respect to aid, for next year, for fiscal year 2021, around February and March, we'll start looking at, certain areas where Armenia may need some additional assistance, perhaps through the Millennium Challenge Corporation and a STEAM grant from that entity. STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, the Arts, and Math. The Millennium Challenge Corporation has distributed such grants to other countries across the world. We feel that Armenia, with its burgeoning tech industry, certainly deserves attention for such a grant.
Well, this is great. I appreciate your input and your insight into the resolution. My guest has been the Western Region Director of the Armenian Assembly, Miran Tumajan. Thank you for joining us, Miran.
Thank you, Professor Demirgogician. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break and be back soon with All Things Armenian.
Tune in the show, All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program from Fresno State University. Find out everything that happens with the Armenian community in the Central Valley. Sunday at 2 p.m. here at Multicultural Radio, 1600 a.m.
This is All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlow Dermergerdichian, with the Armenian Studies Program. We're on Multicultural 1600 AM. Today's discussion was about the House resolution, which was just passed on October the 29th. And we talked about the affirmation of the Armenian genocide. And just for our listeners, we should realize that 49 out of the 50 United States have passed resolutions affirming the Armenian genocide, as well as more than two dozen countries throughout the world which have also done so. Recognition of the Armenian genocide is also done in other ways other than through state-sponsored resolutions or government resolutions. Films have also become a way for the Armenian genocide to become more prominent. The 2015 film The Promise became a very good film for telling the story of the Armenian genocide. And sometime earlier in 2002, Adam Yegoyan, the well-known director, had directed the film called Ararat. And I thought it would be appropriate at this point to listen to a couple of the songs from the soundtrack of the movie Ararat, Tell us that, you know, it's important to affirm the Armenian genocide and that we never forget what happened. These two tracks are ancient history and a need to be remembered. They're from the soundtrack and score composed by Michael Dana from the movie Ararat, a film directed by Adam Egoyan.
Thank you.
Tune into All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Professor Barlow Dermagerdichian. As usual, we have some upcoming events in the Armenian Studies program. This week, we have a lecture coming up by Dr. Umit Kurt, and he's going to be speaking on a topic which relates to what we were talking about today. The topic is The Young Turks, Racism, and the Construction of National Identity. Dr. Umit Kurt is a Polonsky Fellow at the Van Leer Institute in Jerusalem, and many of you are familiar with him because he was a visiting professor here at the Armenian Studies program and taught a course and gave several public lectures. He is distinguished because of his doctorate degree, which came from the Department of History at Clark University. He was only the second in that program to get his degree in Armenian Genocide Studies. His topic will be about the extensive body of literature which addresses the foundations of Turkish nationalism. So the Young Republic of Turkey, the Young Turk political party, the Committee of Union and Progress, when it was developing, even as it was developing, began to display very, very racist and very anti-minority types of ideas in its different types of propaganda. So he will be talking about this on Friday, November the 8th at 7:30 p.m. at the University Business Center, Alice Peters Auditorium. That is located right next to the Peters Business Building, and you can park in Lot P6, which is located right by the University Business Center. This is a free lecture. There's no charge. You can come and just come and listen. Bring a family or friends. Parking is also free, but you need to get a free parking code, which is available by calling the Armenian Studies Program at 278-2669. All of our upcoming events are always on our website at fresnostate.edu/Armenian Studies, or you can follow us on Facebook at Armenian Studies Fresno State. And so every semester, the Armenian Studies program has a variety of interesting lectures, talks, movies coming up. The lecture by Dr. Umit Kurt is going to be co-sponsored by the Center for Ethics, Character, and Civic Education at Fresno State, and we're happy that they are co-sponsoring with us. Our next event following that will be on Tuesday, November the 19th at 7:30 p.m., when students who participated in the Armenia Summer Studies program, which took place in May and June of 2019, they will come to Fresno State to talk about their experiences in Armenia. And I was very happy to be one of the leaders of that group. And along with me was Professor Sergio Laporta. Our group spent 2 weeks in Armenia. And during that 2 weeks, we got to see a lot of different places. And they want to give a report on that. We'll have some videos and some pictures and a lot of interesting reports back from the students. That will be a public event on Tuesday, November the 19th at 7:30 p.m., also at the University Business Center, Alice Peters Auditorium on the Fresno State campus. And again, it will be free and open for the community. And all of these events are ways for us to encourage the community to become involved with the university, and in that way to also learn about what's happening in our program. You can also go to our newspaper online at Hi Sharjoum, that's HYESHARZHOOM.com. HiSharjoum.com, that's the newspaper of the Armenian Studies Program and the Armenian Students Newspaper, and it gives you all of our news about all of the events that have taken place. And we just published the October issue of that, and it has some really interesting highlights about what has happened in the program over the last few months. So somewhere for you to go to learn more about the Armenian Studies Program and about all of the events that are taking place here. So all of these things are made possible through your support and through the Armenian Studies Program at Fresno State. This has been the All Things Armenian radio show. We'll be joining you next week at the same time at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM. And we'll see you next week.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Este fue un programa pagado y solo refleja la opinión de sus anunciantes. Ahora continúa disfrutando de la programación de 1600 AM.